Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. This week, Latvia celebrated its centennial anniversary of Proclamation of Independence. As you might have noticed from this podcast in general, that we haven't had our independence for the past 100 years. We've been under this thing which this podcast is all about. So, you know, we had a huge parade, we had massive fireworks, this was the hugest celebration Latvia has ever seen, ever, in its existence. I think that it might be actually surpassing the original one, when we actually proclaimed our independence, because that was a whole mess and a can of worms on its own. But since I have spoken about how we actually acquired our independence in the Lenin series, when I was treating all the civil war, things that was going on in Russia with the Bolsheviks versus the White Civil War, I thought, well, how to make this episode more special and make it fun for everyone, because, well, honestly, doing something non-special would be kind of a silly thing for something as great as the independence celebration of our great country. Well, not that great. It has a lot of issues. For one, we still don't really have a government. But that's beside the point. I want to give you some of the more insane parts about Latvia. And doing that will kind of reveal my own path about doing this whole show, because I'll also be answering some of the strangest listener questions that I have received. And the thing that I'd like to start the show off with is to talk about Latvia's first and probably only modern terrorist, Ajo Benes. Now, that guy is just something. For one, he was born in June 1979 in Rēzekne, Latvian SSR. He is technically a Latvian citizen. His dad was from Uganda, and his mother was from Russia. At the same time, he came here as a part of a student's program, which in the Soviet era there were many, as an attempt to educate the peoples in Africa, as to stimulate this whole anti-colonialism movement, and of course do a lot of propaganda for their ideas. That's how his dad came here. And yeah, he was born over there in Rēzekne. And we're going to start with his story, which is truly something that needs to be told, because, you know, this is a special episode, and what else will I get to talk about utterly insane things on this show, really? On special occasions, we do these things when we just talk about the stuff that couldn't make it into the show in other times. For one, Ajo Benes is a member of the National Bolshevik Party, which is crazy because most people in America consider them alt-right. Meanwhile, Ajo Benes himself, as Wikipedia for him says, is far-left. Now, how does this work together? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't. The National Bolsheviks are weird guys, and if you think about it, well, their flag is, you know, you take the Nazi Germany flag, but replace the swastika with hammer and sickle. And then their other symbol is you take the Nazi imperialistic flag and replace the swastika in that with the Soviet hammer and sickle. So he's both far right and far left, because he's one of the living things which makes me understand that horseshoe theory truly makes sense. He's 39 now, and nobody knows how this crazy man got anywhere, because we don't know anything about his youth or how he got radicalized, but first time he and the word of national Bolsheviks in general appear at the time when, in 2001, these little fellows of the national Bolsheviks just climbed up in the tower of St. Peter's Church here, which is one of the oldest and largest churches in Riga, with a hand grenade, threatening the elevator operator with a hand grenade, because that's also a tower where you can, like, look at the vistas around Riga, and, you know, see the, all of old Riga here. And they wanted to free from prison, basically, all the people who were arrested and imprisoned for trying to overthrow our government in the August putsch, including Alfred Srubix. Also, they wanted to free the people who were justly convicted for genocide, Yevgeny Savienko and Mikhail Farbtuch. Yeah, those two guys were actively participating into the KGB purges, which is fun. And this is the first thing that you hear the word of Ayo Benes, because these guys went up to the St. Peter's Church and tried to blow it up. They were just standing there, and apparently their grenade had been a dud, so that didn't work out. But yeah, national Bolshevism and these guys, well, they do terrorist things. They're also now banned in Russia, because they are just too crazy for literally everyone. And this is the insane part, that they're technically super far left, but they are so far left that they truly turn far right, or other people might say that they are so far right that they turn far left. At any point, the horseshoe theory proclaims that Stalinism and Hitler's Nazism are, you know, at the very close ends of the spectrum. One's so far right it almost becomes left and otherwise. Well, national Bolsheviks, who proclaim themselves to be extremely anti-fascist and also anti-communist, at that point, this would be the point where both of these ends of the spectrum truly meet. Second thing that he does in our story, Mr. Benes, was that on 7th of May 2005, he organized a protest action against the visit of George W. Bush in the country. He called him terrorist number one, and he was yelling about how Latvia should arrest Mr. George W. Bush, the younger, obviously, for even entering this place. He's also extremely pro-Putin, at least has been. He's no longer such, by the way. It's super interesting. See, while this thing was going on in 2005 when he was doing this protest, wasn't exactly that. He wasn't just out on the streets yelling with his few fellow national Bolsheviks about how Mr. Bush should be imprisoned. He was also openly spreading around brochures calling for a violent coup in Latvia because we are all a fascist government. Which is really nice when you're a representative party. By the way, at that time, they didn't have a hammer and sickle in their logo. It was a Nazi flag with a black hand grenade in the background, because it all comes from the founder of the National Bolsheviks, Eduard Limonov, and the nickname for a hand grenade is Limonka. So yeah, Conservapedia, Rational Wiki, you guys both get it wrong. I don't even know if this guy's alt-right. Anyhow, he called Mr. Bush very far right, spread out brochures about how everything should be violently turned over here, and then, obviously, he got called to court, because, hey, that was weird, dude, and you just got off with trying to, at least with a proper grenade, take over things and blow up old Riga. Not fun. At the same time, he was in the court in 2005 defending himself by stating that, no, I was just preparing for my test in the college. All the while, this is cool, because all the while, at the same time, Ayo Benes, while he's being in court after his attempts of spreading around brochures among everyone that call for a massive coup, he spreads around more brochures in his statement that 5th December 2005, where Ayo Benes threatened the court and in the name of all the national Bolsheviks called in 10 days time, press on to the knees, all the Latvian court system. However, he wanted to violently kill everyone in the police, our parliament, our president, and our cabinet of ministers, while he's at court for spreading other such things and literally threatening to murder the United States president. After he's been with a hand grenade on a tower. Obviously, he was He was arrested and judged, and subsequently he went on hunger strike in prison because he thought he was truly fighting for some hardcore left rights. And he's being called far right. Look, they're national Bolsheviks. They're the utterly crazy people of any possible spectrum. Then our government decides to release him from prison after just 14 days and give him a fine, which at that point were 10 minimum salaries, which was 800 lats at the point. After that, Ayo Benes left Latvia and moved to the UK for a while. And he studied medical microbiology at the University of London in Birkbeck, but he couldn't get away from being a crazy national Bolshevik. So he played an active role in political rallies in the UK, where he got involved with the Communist Party of Great Britain, and for some reason decided to attend pro-Palestinian marches, where he was beaten up by pro-Palestinian candidates. Because not even those guys really wanted to, you know, do anything with them, because this guy is just a bit too insane. Then, he was in Palestine, because he decided that the United Kingdom's pro-Palestinian activists weren't good enough. So he goes to Palestine, and he's there just for 1 month. For 1 month. And then he participates in organizing terrorist acts in resisting Israeli authorities. And he gets a field medical training, because, you know, obviously some Palestinian guys need a lot of help there. Probably whatever this guy's here from, I don't even know. But fine. But after a while, even they throw them out. Because this guy was too crazy for, like, fanatical radical Islam terrorists, even. But if all this was weird, then Mr. Ayo Benes is still gonna surprise everyone. See, after he was kicked out from Palestine, because Hamas thought he was too weird for them, he goes to Moscow, of all the places. So on 14th of September 2013, he participates in the Congress of the political party The Other Russia. The Other Russia are ridiculously, ridiculously insane, as this is the party which, after in 2007, National Bolsheviks were banned in Russia. In 2010, their previous leader, Eduard Limonov, declares a party, which were denied registration, because they didn't have enough support there, because not everyone is this ridiculously insane. But yeah, he was in there doing the whole creation thing of this party. And you know, I've always spoken about Boris Nemtsov on this show with a nice tone here, but Boris Nemtsov kind of makes sure that this party is very well defined. Oh yeah, by the way, the Other Russia party, yeah, those are the guys with the Nazi flag and a hand grenade in the middle. Yeah, and their slogans are like two of them. One, Russia is everything, the rest is nothing. And second one is nation, homeland, socialism. Yeah, and political position is defined as far left, but hey, you can go far right and you can just whatever. Anyhow, Boris Nemtsov said about them, quote, "The Other Russia united national Bolsheviks, nationalists, liberals, social democrats, and socialists." Then he also added that, quote, "There are no parties similar to that one anywhere in the world." And he was totally true, because this was so ridiculously insane a movement, and it's still quite active, actually. Their latest actions were on 26th of October this year, 2018, when during international security exhibition in Moscow, one of the activists of the Other Russia party, whatever those guys stand for, Olga Shalina, yeah, she cut her veins in an act of protest against human rights violations in Russian prisons. And she yelled about tortures happening in Russian prisons, because, you know, if you've listened to my prison culture episode, then you know that there is a ton of torture there. And again, she spread leaflets yelling against the cops, and while shouting freedom for prisoners and all that nice stuff. This is just ridiculous. Also, those guys are fanatical activists and zealots against Ukraine in the war in Donbass. Just so you know, this'll come up again. Ayo Benes continues to travel and do crazy things, because on 19th of November 2013, Ayo Benes was in London in a direct action in memory of Alexander Dolmatov, which was a Russian opposition activist who committed suicide in a Taj detention center. He went to the Netherlands, Dolmatov, in June 2012, fearing arrest in Russia. he sought political asylum there, but in December of 2012, the Immigration Service of Netherlands turned down his application, and he was found dead in a Rotterdam deportation center early in 17th January 2013. So, this guy, who's just an opposition activist, and one of the more active left political activists, probably wouldn't have approved of Ayo Beresk himself, but that doesn't stop our hero here. And he was in very, very active positions for all these protest actions, because on 29th of November, just 10 days later after the 19th one, with a violent protest going on, he, in The Hague, organized further crazy riot-level protests in memory of said Dolmatov. Obviously, he was arrested and was put into prison, where he stayed for 6 weeks. So, you know, you'd be thinking that this guy kind of wants some liberal ideas, but oh boy. In 2014, Ayo Benes departs for the self-declared Republic of Crimea. He gets arrested on April the 1st in Donetsk, when it's not in riot yet, and when there are no kind of little green men sent in there for, quote, preparation of an armed coup to overthrow the government and to undermine the territorial integrity of Ukraine, from where he is deported from Ukraine to the United Kingdom again. And in May, the very same year, it's like a month, he's been deported in April, and now it's May, and he's just coming back. And despite that he's been banned from entering Latvia, and despite that he's banned from entering Ukraine, he tries to cross into Ukraine with another two random guys. The border guard just takes him up, and he's sent back to my country, to Latvia, where he's detained by our security police and the state police at the airport. At the same point, Mr. Benes, who's so far done so many crazy things that I still have no idea how he's even alive, he instantly claims that he has been tortured and beaten by the Ukrainian National Guard. On the 16th of May, our courts order that we should probably keep this crazy guy in prison and restart our prosecution for his incitements to, well, violently overthrow the government of Latvia, to change the political system, and to liquidate Latvian national independence, because he wants us to join Russia at any cost. Well, he manages to completely avoid, due to his national Bolshevik friends, any arrests and any persecutions, because for some reason he was just taken into custody, but then he was let out, and he participated into a ton of protest actions in Riga, including the 15th August demonstration against the fact that we, as members of EU, joined the sanctions against Russia, and once again, he calls for dismissal of Minister of Foreign Affairs at the time, Edgar Sritkevich, and he calls for a violent overthrow of my country once again. Obviously, he's currently super wanted in Latvia for charges of sedition, and we have a warrant for his arrest, but we're probably not arresting him anytime soon, because once he realized he'd get into too many troubles and problems over here, guess what he does? He goes to Donbass with his fellow National Bolsheviks and joins the Intergard regiments as one of the volunteers. Now, let me tell you, if you think about far-right ultranationalism, you'd think they'd be pretty racist? Nope. Like I told you, his dad is from Uganda. He's black. At this time, I guess everyone's just super confused about who he is. Ayo Benes, since late 2014, has been fighting as a part of the Luhansk People's Army, which are another part of the separatists, and Russia-sponsored and funded separatists in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is not where the story even ends. See, when Ayo Benes went to war in Donbass with the separatist things, we thought he was just dead, just like everyone else who was this crazy guy. But then again, apparently we here in Latvia and people in Ukraine have underestimated the mighty power of Ayo Benes. Apparently this guy has even got a cool nickname for himself, and this extremely far-right ultranationalistic Russian, who is also far-left, has acquired a nickname, Black Lenin. And on the 15th of October, 2018, this year, he wrote a letter to the newspaper Novaya Gazeta and did an interview with him. He was very open about supporting the so-called Russian Spring in Crimea, then joining Donbass and joining in with the armed separatist groups. And he became apparently the face of the radical international, whatever this is, the fourth or the fifth one, who supports this new Russia idea. The guys from the Novaya Gazeta, or the new newspaper, they got an interview with him. Because apparently, by this point in 2018, he's alive and he's still kicking, and he's very, very disappointed with what's going on in Russia. So I'm going to give you the interview with this glorious man, Ayo Benes. Because, wow, if you think about famous crazy Latvians, I don't even have anything to add here. So, full translation of the interview. He's, by the way, discussing this with a special correspondent of Novaya Gazeta, Pavel Kanigin. What exactly doesn't satisfy you, Benes? A whole list of things. First of all, the usurpation of power in Donbass by some sort of doubtful anti-nationalistic elements. Secondly, about how people really get treated in the region. In part, with the Communistic Party of Donetsk Nationalistic Republic. We weren't allowed to participate in the local elections in the higher council. And again, this very same anti-people's forces created an act of terrorism in our committee in the time where we were collecting there.
Hey guys, Annette here. I hope you are enjoying our new episode of The Eastern Border. As always, a big thank you to all of our Patreons. The show would not be possible without your help. If you are not a Patreon and would like to become one, head over to the Eastern Border page on patreon.com. Please remember to also follow us on our social media, like Twitter, where we are known as Eastern_Border, and on our Facebook page. We also have a new Discord server, so if you're interested in that, find a link in the description of this podcast. That's it for now. See you online.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So, why aren't you calling the guilty one straight up? I'm not the court, not the investigation to state something like that. Let them call that, and it's kind of weird, especially when behind this, the bourgeoisie oligarchic circles, both in Russia and Ukraine, are standing behind this. They simply do not want the power of Donbas to be owned by the people. They do not want this movement of Nova Russia, understand? Right now, there are more and more talks about what's going to happen with the freezing of the Pridnestrovsky conflict. The more and more talks about how this is going to move like that. Stagnation of everything, but was that what we were fighting for in 2014? Besides, they're giving us this Pushilin, who supported MMMs, which are multi-level marketing schemes, by the way. And this is just my comment here. And another one of imposters of the Moscow oligarchs and curators whom no one respects here. Borodai speaks that things have been decided already. Moscow has decided on Pushilin, even though they called him Cherno Pushilin, which is the black Pushilin at the beginning. Well, this is some sort of nonsense. Look what's going around. Everyone who was influential and loved by the people were isolated from this interpolitical process. No one has acquired a passport in DNR, therefore he can't put himself on the ballot. Khodorkovsky is not let out from Russia, but to Pavel Guvarev, they basically hit him really hard by kidnapping his wife. Our comrade, communist Hakim Zanov, were also not allowed to participate in elections. One Pushilin and some purely technical opposition candidates, sort of opposition candidates, were remaining there, and no one knows about them in the Donetsk. That is, some political powers, who are utterly, they don't care, And my commentary here, I'm literally reading verbatim from this whole situation. He does speak that poorly, and I'm trying to translate it in all accuracy. There'll be some swear words coming on here, and even though he is a master of microbiology, he's quite unpleasant to actually read, just saying. So, these people want to turn our country into some sort of slave country for the mighty oligarchs. In short, I believe that the elections that are going to happen here, because by that point they weren't even happened, but obviously Pushilin won. Pushilin was the Kremlin's candidate who, again, used to run multilateral marketing schemes and got into trouble in Russia. I understand and think that these... these so-called elections completely are not representative of our constitution, our democratical principles, and norms of international rights, which is funny when this guy is talking about international rights. Venice, excuse me, but when you're talking about the laws in Donetsk, that sounds kind of like you're joking, but I'm not joking. Simply, the thing is that we were being tricked. We feel ourselves being tricked. Complete failure. That is, 40 years ago, you fought for and agreed to a half a criminal dictatorship, which appeared here together with Zakharchenko and Tashkent, but now you are being those guys who complain about the lack of democratic institutions, right? Well, we presumed it would be temporarily, you know, bardak, or chaos. Well, you know, they're gonna steal a bit, but after all, there's gonna be, you know, joining with Russia. Order. Completely until the Debaltseve's battle, we believed in the fact that in Donbas, the Abkhaz and South Ossetia scenery will follow. Russia will give us protection, will de jure admit our independence with the goal of uniting us. The widespread of new Russia at that point were stopped, but somehow partisans, Russian partisans, will fight on, and at one point those territories that we have will be admitted. But then they started talking to us that you have to endure a bit, that the situation's hard, that Minsk is a special, very sneaky plan of Putin, because, you know, in any case, Ukraine will never gonna observe these Minsk treaties, and we kinda agreed to this. But that point and that era, inside the republics, true chaos started to rise. Corruption, complete annihilation of democratic processes, but we endured because we believed that in the future, this Putin's sneaky, again, hitri, we use the word hitri here, this Putin's sneaky plan will work and win in the end. In short, we bought in, we went to compromises, but it turned out that very soon, Moscow decided to do nothing, it doesn't want to do anything. It's understandable that there are different political structures in Moscow, moods and groups of influence and different scenarios. Not only one Surkov, who is one of the most important people in Kremlin, not only one Surkov there is with his team, there are other people too. There is still an idea of a South Russian Federation. There are still important political structures there who completely think that all of Donbas, all of Novorossiya, all this new Russia, that they are truly and completely Russian lands, that South Russian territories, that they must be added. But for now, Surkov is stronger. But again, we're being told that Surkov has become weaker. A lot of people, you know, hate him. And you are not really in the course that the goal of Moscow from the end of 2014 wasn't the addition of these territories, but instead the reintegration of Donbas into Ukraine, well, with certain, let's just say, rules. And then again, we saw different things in the territories. It was a completely strong integration inside of Russia. Completely a reformation of infrastructure, factories, and industry. Some of our coal businesses are now tied to Russia, together with metallurgy, like the pipe factory of Kharkiv. All the celebrations, time, all of it is in Russian for us. The textbooks, history, which are taught in our universities and schools, it's all totally Russian-Soviet, not Ukrainian. The ruble, the Russian ruble, is our, you know, main currency. Sure, we have possibly the passports of DNR and LNR, but then Russian passports will just push him out. They're talking that the banks will be Russian. That is, seeing it all of this, this integration in Russia, we kind of unwillingly agree to all of these failures. Yes, the process is holding back now and then, not one, not two, but about 5-6, and that's bad, because in the result of shootings, the people are dying unmistakably. This is criminal, because the death of peaceful people, of civilians, and our warriors, that has to stop. But we see this integration, and we still believe that this is not simple. It's just too simple to give us back to Ukraine. Yes, we are disappointed with the fact that it's so slow. We bought in with certain promises, and with that, there are fault lies. In that area, we still control only 35-40% of the territory of the whole Donbas region. However, back then in 2014, we could have taken Mariupol, one of the further cities down, which isn't controlled by them, and the whole territory around Donetsk. But now, we don't have peace for 5 years, and we don't even have an exact war. We have just constant shootouts. The towns surrounding Donetsk are being just done. The buildings are crashing down. We have a high unemployment rate, totally low pay, and people who work for the government, they get in about 5-6,000 rubles, and it's impossible to survive with this money. But we do not believe that Kremlin, in all of its bourgeoisie, will give us to Ukraine. In Donetsk and Luhansk, a lot of Russian money has been put in. It's not profitable to return this all back to Ukraine. So, why are you thinking that Kremlin wants to give it all back to Ukraine? Moscow truly is doing some economical, infrastructural, and cultural additions to Donbas, but in the law plane, they want to leave Donbas as a part of Ukraine. And that will be a large pressure point to Kiev from Moscow for long years. As part of a Trojan horse? Well, shamefully, it is seen that in Kremlin such moods are being preferred. But I want to say that after the horrors and that violence and terror which the Banderovsko-fascistskaya junta or Banderov-fascist junta has put upon us, I don't think that our people will agree even to a formal reintegration. I don't want to believe in such a scenario. After all, we believed Russia shall come forever, like in Crimea. Is it not obvious, Benes, that Moscow does not want, like in Crimea, but wants in a different way? And I'm telling you back, for fuck's sake, we were feeling bad. Although, I don't believe it until the end. But possible that in the Kremlin there is still going on a battle of groups and the final decision has not been made yet. That is why we want to create a united front of the allies of Donbas and Novorossiya so that our voice would be sounding more louder in Kremlin. A front where another Russia and the Communist Party and the National Bolshevik Party and the comrades Strelkov and Bezler and Purgin and Gurbayev will go in. And those are very anti-European, anti-West, essentially, activists. And they are the guys whom Putin keeps on a super tight leash because those guys, if they get power, they'll get insane. This is my comment here. All those people who state that Russia becomes powerful and strong, a raising kind of a state. After all, Russia doesn't want to leave us alone. It wants to make sure that we're joined as fast as possible. But in the case with sanctions and the pressure of Russian oligarchs, it's impossible. The oligarchs have money and resources. They pay taxes. They're tied with the evil Western capitalism and understand that sanctions will ruin them. That is why they do not want the spread of Novorossiya. But there is a chance that Russia will live through these sanctions and will create its independent production and will become less dependent on the West, will create an alliance and a union with China, Kazakhstan, and then the pro-Western oligarchs will be broken. Now then, we will have a chance. The hope of that is still with us, and it's strong. But while the liberal powers are dominating Russia, while the powers who don't want independence from the West are in control of Russia. And this is from the interview, guys. This is as funny to you as it is to me. So I'm sorry, but you know, I can't really do this seriously. While these are in power, we have no hope. And you want to press on Kremlin with your front and also to Putin? Of course. So that they will, without any point, go to the point of complete isolation from the West and the addition of Donbas? Well, yes. But I don't think that Russia will be in complete isolation. Russia shall build a Caspian society, the Euro-Asian society. It shall increase its union with the powers in Asia, South America, Africa. That's how we see it. Where the hell Russia shall take investments and technologies? I'm sorry, but there's a huge scientific and people's potential in Russia. Can't we just move on our own technologies? In Russia, there's Kalashnikov. There are technologies about using swamp gas, which is practically unusable until the end in comparison to natural one. But you truly are a Black Lenin. Swamp gas, isolation from the West, friendship with third world countries. You know, you should just take it into account that our front can successfully pressure the powers in Russia, including Putin, thinking that the people in the country being stagnated, Russia is not in a good position right now. Look at it yourselves. So many factors. The pension reform, the increase of value-added tax, the increase of poverty. If the powers will not go to certain compromises, will not hear the people of Donbass, and will not liberate the people of Ukraine from the violent fascist junta, then there will be another revolution. Yes, a change of power. I will not throw around these terms. Revolution, not revolution. But there will be a change. Power, which can't listen to the people, cannot live forever. Europe of a communistic worldview, but you are looking at the right-wing, extremely right-wing Gubarev, and even more extremely right-wing Girkin, your comrades. How do you manage this? Well, we have a common goal, so that we would have honest, normal elections in Donetsk in accordance to the law. And when the powers that be will give us the pretext for these elections, then we shall honestly fight with each other. For whom the people will vote, that shall rule. And then, without compromises, we shall be of the opponents of Gubarev and other elements of the bourgeoisie. I'm sure that your front shall be called the Red and Browns. Do you understand and are united with Girkin truly? Because he has often criticized the Jews and, you know, has been blatantly anti-Semitical and racist. Have you read his Caucasus stories? Well, honestly speaking, I haven't heard anything anti-Semitical, anti-Caucasus or racist in his words. But I know that he often contacts and is friendly with a lot of Jews, including commanders in Donbass, including me. And he doesn't just step for the dictatorship of the Russian nation. Dictatorship of the Russian nation is what the national Bolsheviks are about. And our friend Ayo Benes, if you didn't understand from the fact that his dad is from Uganda, is also black. And he claims to be Jewish. Well, that part is not true, but yeah, now... Okay, so we have a... Just to put it in perspective again, just a small recap. We have a black, self-proclaimed Jewish, Latvian, hardcore ultra-nationalist who is also a communist, who is also a terrorist, who has worked with Hamas, who's also a microbiologist, and now is working with the separatists in Donetsk, who has also tried to do violent coups in Latvia, and has also tried to do a violent coup in the Netherlands. Yeah, let's process this. This is an interview with this man. This is the most interesting man on planet Earth at this given moment. And he's just 39. Carrying on. Interestingly enough, what shall be the reaction of Moscow towards your initiatives? Honestly, I think that there will be no reaction at the beginning. But, you know, independence with that, how our coalition shall work, the power shall be reacting to that. We, ourselves, the communists, will try to stand up for the union of DNR and LNR with Russia and all of Novorossiya as an autonomous republic within Russia. And of course, our maximum program, it is the socialistic union and the recreation of the Soviet Union. Of course, we see that Putin and other bourgeoisie pro-Western... Yeah, this guy, he even calls Putin pro-Western. Of course he does. Why not? Why not by this point? Seriously. We see that him and other leaders of Russia would like to go into the club of leaders of more developed countries of the world and would want to put their own questions there. But the question about the life of the people, no one's worried about that. That's the main problem. So you'd want that Russia would never go into this club of civilized countries. And this is the best. the best quote of all of this, why I even started this episode. I would like to see Russia being together with the countries as Belarus, North Korea, Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, in which Maduro exists, with Syria. I, by the way, completely support Russia's military activities in Syria. So you want Russia to be on the level with the very poorest countries, pariahs? Yes, exactly, with these pariahs, because these countries picked either a socialist path of progress or didn't really orient themselves. Exactly with these countries, Russia must create a powerful political and economical alliance. This is the point where I had to stop my recording for a second previous time when I did this, because I was just laughing out too loud. Benis, are you not afraid that even the people in Donbass will come to fear you because of your crazy ideas? People, after all, want, speaking in your language, realize their own small bourgeoisie needs, live peacefully and with some dignity without fearing wars and arrests and, you know, have some rest. But you're literally offering them North Korea now. We offer peace to people, and I will tell you that the people of Donbass are even ready to tightly tie up their belts for the end of this war. Me, I'm being stopped on the streets all the time, and I get these questions. They're seeing me as a person in the uniform and are asking, tell me, please, when this terrible war shall end. Well, and I go every time by the street, and every time I answer this question by the normal people. Guys, when this is gonna end, this is what people want. How do we fucking solve this? We know this. We need to have Russian peace workers entered in our country. Second thing that people want, good job, good payments, and so forth. How do we solve these questions? In the ways of realistic and complete nationalization. Even Marx wrote about this. First, that the people need is to get dressed and to get clothing. And we are going to work with this. Ayo Benis, ladies and gentlemen. He's my spirit animal now, I think. So why did I record this episode, especially since I told that I'm going to be asking the most insane questions of my listeners? Well, the most interesting question of my listeners so far has been, hey, what do you think about a national Bolsheviks, and Dugin, and Limonov, and do you support their ideas? No. No, I don't. Secondly, why am I doing this in the 100th anniversary of my own country? Well, because in a way, when you look back at this, there were days in my country's history when people like Ayo Benis, when utter madmen, full with weird ideas, because Latvia in its inception fought both against the Germans and the Russians and everyone, basically. We're in the middle of a crossroads, and this is why I love my country. This is why we are in this more, so you see, conservative way about we want to run our country ourselves, because there was a real risk that Ayo Benis isn't Lenin. Well, he's closer to Trotsky, I would state. But there was a moment in time when people like Ayo Benis were threatening my country and from all sides, and different armies were just marching all over us, and we endured. And this is why we are not a country of madmen, and we are not North Korea. This is why we are, after all, we still have a lot of problems, but we're still a civilized country, I think so. We have a lot of issues again, and I'm no fan of my government, but this is a thing that I get a lot of questions about my opinions on national Bolshevism, because some people are really fans of it, and some people just ask me whether or not I'm left or right, and I have to answer that I'm for the truth, because this is why I am a centrist. Because if you look at Ayo Benis and you see both far right and far left all put into one, and then you understand what this crazy radicalism can bring to you. This makes you think, because there are people like him out there that truly exist, and no matter which side of the political spectrum are you on, if you go far enough, you all become Ayo Benis, without a doubt. At least, that's how I view it. So I'm happy that 100 years ago, my country managed to get independence and then keep it. I was sad about the fact that we were taken over by the Soviet Union, but that was also an experience that we lived through. It all has meaning, because the craziest questions are always about which kind of spectrum do I support? Am I a player on one team or the other? Well, here you go. This is the guy who plays for both teams, and see how that turns out. So don't be like that. This is why I thought it was very important to speak about Ayo Benes in our centennial episode. Because I have to thank those brave men who got our independence, and then also to those brave men who restored it, for the fact that our country is not one of Ayo Benes, for the fact that we have hope in this country, and for the fact that we can still live here in peace. I wish that to Latvia, so that we wouldn't have to endure more Ayo Beneses in the future, and maybe one day, we shall prosper from that. I hope you enjoyed this episode, because truly, this was one among the funniest I've ever made in my life, and also one of the saddest, if you think about it. До свидания, товарищи, and see you next time. God bless Latvia.
Thank you for listening to The Eastern Border. If you have any comments or specific details you'd like to know, you're welcome to leave it in the comment section on our site, theeasternborder.lv, and we'll rummage even to the western border to find you an answer. Like this podcast? Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or on our RSS feed. Happiness is mandatory. Good reviews and donations feed the farmers of our kolkhoz in the great motherland. The Eastern Border salutes you.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org for more shows like this one. The Dark Myths Void.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.